studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
It is a Monday afternoon, actually.
Are you aware that this is a holiday?
Yes, I am. That's why I go to work today.
Yeah, the weird thing is I saw school buses go by today, too. I don't understand that, but I did see them. I don't know what's going on. But I hadn't even thought about it being held this morning when some of the radio stations just listening to mentioned it.
Yeah, well, for the rest of the world, it's a holiday. For us working stiffs, it's like, I got to be at work at home. But anyways, besides that, welcome to the program. We're here on our new day and time. You are listening to Oregon Update, by the way. I'm Robin, and that was Cliff. And call us, by the way, because this is a talk show, which you are allowed to call us at 646-721-988. Chat room is open right now at Blydio. You can join us there. And I'm assuming Cliff is opening up the other one. You can send us emails, talk@krbnradio.com. And thank you for the emails, by the way. Keep them coming. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and listen to us on iTunes. We're just all over the place. We're getting so big. I'm glad that we
started. Good or not.
Hopefully, if you tuned in the last couple of weeks' shows, we have had some audio problems. We are still, typically we are broadcasting live from Eugene, Oregon in the main studios, but we're branching out a little bit. We have two remote studios going this week, one in Portland, one in Cottage Grove. So hopefully we've got our audio problems taken care of, and it doesn't sound like that we're broadcasting from another planet. But on today's show, a lot going on in the news today. There's especially... it's kind of like a nationwide revolution going on to start out with Occupy Wall Street. We're going to kind of touch on that a little bit on the program and any other issues that a little bit on the GOP and the elections. And
there's a lot of things going on. I mean, it's nothing really, really, really major, but there's a lot of things going on. I guess the Occupy insert city here, is about the biggest thing that's happening, because it's becoming worldwide, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. And not just that, but as on the news, you know, they're talking about, yes, even the government is starting to stand up and notice. God.
Well, it's about time, because that's what it's about, is the government.
Yeah, excuse me, Michael.
Not paying any attention.
Yeah, I get a kick out of some of the comments on, like, House Majority Leader Eric Cantor called the protesters a mob and suggested that they had been encouraged by the Obama administration. It's like, come on. How clueless can you be, you know?
Well, a lot of the unions are trying to step in and quote, close quote, help out or whatever. And I don't think this is really a union thing. It does have to do with jobs and the fact that there aren't any, and the fact that our president's jobs program has been less than stellar. People aren't really going for it.
Yeah. Well, so, if everybody else had the type of job that he has, where he just take more vacations. But also
the other thing about his job that's better than everybody else's, if you don't have enough money, you just print some.
There you go.
See, we kind of get in trouble when we do that.
Yeah, we go to jail.
that's a fact.
Herman Cain called the protesters jealous Americans who want to play the victim card. And the one I really get a kick out of is, of course, our favorite House Democrat clueless leader, Nancy Pelosi. God bless them for their spontaneous. In other words, you know. In other words, it's like the king and queen standing up on the balcony going, oh, look at all those cute little people and their cute little protests. Isn't that sweet?
It's a problem. They have no hint of what they're actually doing, the people, that is.
Yeah.
The, our hierarchy sits up there on their little perch and on their balcony or whatever, and it's just and I've heard some, who was it? I heard a couple of senators who actually admitted the other day that they didn't know what's going on in the real world, that they don't actually go out and ever go to a grocery store or anything like that. They don't know what's going on and how much is a gallon of milk. They don't have any idea.
Exactly. I mean, and that's the whole point. I think that's what, now even though the demand, list of demands, and I don't have them in front of me at the moment, but the list of demands from Occupy Wall Street are kind of ridiculous, like $20 an hour minimum wage. I mean, that'd be disastrous. But listening to the local news broadcast, because they've been locally occupied, Eugene Occupy Portland, and everybody's out there for their own reasons, but the majority of the reason why people have been out there is to send a message that, you know, we're tired of the way things have been running,
mm-hmm.
and they're not listening. Our leaders are not paying attention to us. In fact, I wish for the life of me I could remember who the guest was on the Lars Larson show here in Portland, that he was talking about the last November's elections, and he says that referring to the November 2010 elections, about the message that the voters sent, and his guest said, what message was that?
You know, and that's the sad part of this whole thing. There are so many people out there that are not paying attention to what's going on. And that's why this Occupy insert name here is becoming such a big thing, and why I'm really, I don't know what I can do necessarily to promote and push for more, but it is so fantastic. And I'm really interested in all this stuff, and I was really interested in finding out what they did on Facebook and on Twitter and how they organize things. But they literally go on there and just say, okay, if you want to meet on Thursday the 25th, then we've got to have portable toilets. We've got to have this kind of, we've got to have somebody out there that's a doctor, and they just lay it all out, and then people start volunteering to do these things, and it's amazing. I think it's great. It's just absolutely great, and there's no real
leader.
Leader, yeah. No real leader, but everybody is stepping up and doing it, and this is happening all over the country. That I went and looked around as many as I could. There is an Occupy Seattle. There is an Occupy Portland. There is an Occupy Eugene. They're all over the place. So it's kind of good. But
there's people of all ages and all ages and incomes that are getting involved in this thing, and that's impressive in itself.
I just got a report from Candy that we're sounding a little bit fuzzier than usual, but we're not cutting out, so it's okay.
Okay, well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, like I say, we're hoping it's. We do a lot of testing off the air, and you know, just like anything else, if things go good in rehearsal, but as soon as you go live, because if this does work, again, operating from remotes, we can. It gives us a lot of flexibility about what we can do with the program, including setting up remotes. And if there's events or something going on, that we can start doing live broadcasts from there. Otherwise, we've got to pre-record everything, and that kind of goes against the whole reason of having a talk show.
Yeah, 646-721-9887, 9887, 646-721-9887. And that's the reason for having a talk show, because you can call. Please call us and get in on this. If we're not talking about something that you want to talk about, tell us, and we'll change the subject along with whatever it is. Well, almost everything. There are some things we find out that we're not going to talk about, but almost anything else. And so far, we've only had one caller ever that got straight into the bad part. But anyway, that's the whole thing. Give us a call and let us know what you want to talk about. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call. And I am watching pretty much the chat room, and there's nobody in there but me. So,
well,
if you want
to, that's the other chat room, the KRBNRadio.com one, which does not require a username per se or an account. unlike Blog Talk Radio, which there has been a couple of people in and out of the Blog Talk Radio chat room so far. But again, you know, we do appreciate the conversations that go on in there. That if you don't
to be into Blog Talk, you don't have to sign up. You just have to put in a name, and it can be any old fictitious name if you want to, but something that you have to be different than somebody else. You can't all be John. But the point is, you don't have to sign up. You don't have to give your name and address and telephone number. Just go on there and do it, and we'd love to hear from you.
And if it's an X-rated username, well, we just may refer to you as Hey You.
Yeah, X-rated. X-rated 1, X-rated 2, and X-rated...
That's you're on the air. No, I wonder if this Occupy, insert name, city, you know, people have been saying all the time that we need a revolution in this country, and I wonder if this is the beginning of a peaceful, hopefully peaceful...
That might be the closest we get to it, because, and this is happening not only here, but a lot of places. One of the things that's, excuse me, one of the things that I wanted to kind of get into is the fact that we could be not as bad as, but Greece is very close to declaring bankruptcy, and Greece has had to make huge cuts and things. Now, they've made a 20% cut to all of their federal and government employees. And they're quite upset about that, and they've got strikes all over the place that take place. Some of them are, what do I want to, they're peaceful. They're very peaceful. And smaller strikes around here and there and everywhere, but then they're going to have a national strike as well. They're going to have a couple of those. Right now, today, for example, in Greece, almost all of the transportation, mass transportation is down, and there's a lot of kids that are not going to school and things like that. They're making their voice known, but they're still going to work because, you know, you can only stay out of work so long because you don't get paid, and so consequently they are going to work. But
it's like you're telling me off the air. I think part of the reasons for the movement, because, you know, like I said, in 2010, we tried to send the message, and they were concerned about it. Congress was concerned about it for a very short period of time. Oh, my God, this is what the people are saying. The Tea Party was basically originally a way for people to come out and send a message that, hey, we're tired of it. And, of course, the government poo-pooed it. They just, you know, well, it's just a bunch of racist, because that's the key term that everybody likes to use. And so now we have this, but like Cliff was telling me off the air, there is some representatives who actually came out and admitted they really are out of touch.
Yeah, an awful lot of our elected officials are totally out of touch. That's why I'm going to really push hard to change everybody who has been in longer than two terms to remove them and replace them. Everyone. I don't care how good they have been in the past or how bad they have been in the past. Let's just remove them and replace them. This is not supposed to be a place to go to retire a government job like that. But we've also got to worry about the bureaucracy behind them. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Every senator and every representative has many, many, many employees. I mean many employees. And we need to do something about perhaps working with those employees. At least they're not paid so much that most of those employees will have probably gone to a grocery store in the last year. I mean, but, you know, you're going to talk to some of these bigger, because think about this. You can't get into office unless you're going to spend huge amounts of money, huge amounts of money. So that's going to be my next public campaign is in reform, campaign finance reform. We've got to do something about changing the campaign finance system. And I've been working very hard and trying to come up with an idea of what to do to change the campaign finance system. So that's something else I'm going to get on in a little later on in the program is to talk about that, because that's important. We need to do something about that. It can't not see. We're only having for government. The millionaires are the only ones that can afford to go run for the government, and then consequently, we have millionaires as governors, not governors, but senators and representatives and presidents. And we need to change that.
And also change it to, like Herman Cain is going up against. Of course, any outsider that comes in has them worried. But, I mean, Herman Cain, yeah, he's got a few things that I disagree with, but he's got a, if you look at his history, he may not be a politician, and I think that's what a lot of people are really liking about him. But he has, he's worked in the business sector successfully. He knows how to run a large commercial for-profit organization. And when you look at the qualifications that we want for somebody for president, you know, to run this industrial complex, per se, you got to have somebody that knows a little bit about the ins and outs. I mean, coming out, and this is really, I was waiting for this, and they didn't disappoint me. Already got into religion. Somebody's a Mormon. Who cares? Right to life, abortion. You know, it's like, come on, guys. We do that every election. Let's get into some really, the issues we really need to talk about, and the fact that our country's in major trouble, and we need to worry more about that than worry whether somebody is a Jew or whatever.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you can be an atheist entirely and still be a good person. That doesn't, just because you're a religious person, does not make you a good person. Quite often, it does quite the contrary, unfortunately, to say that, but it does. But, and I'm not denigrating or condemning anyone. Any group of people, any single person, but the simple fact that to even bring up the fact that he's Mormon, what? You know?
Yeah, how's that relevant to anything?
I have met many, many, many Mormons. I've worked in the entertainment business for a long time, and I used to do dances and things and sound systems for the Mormon church, because they do treat their kids, I think, a lot better than almost any other religion out there as a whole. Not as there are certain churches that are do good and everything, but the Mormon religion, period, as a whole, has to, their whole philosophy is family, and far to the betterment than any other religion that I know of. So,
yeah, but as somebody put it on a talk show the other day, is that, you know, like I say, who cares really about what somebody's religious beliefs is in? If I'm Christian, well, and if that bothers me, I can go to church or whatever you go to. But it's like, you know, we need somebody that's going to be up there that has, first of all, has a clue, that's been out in the real sector, you know, that not only understands what the rest of us are going through, but has been there.
Yeah.
Can appreciate it. And I'm not going to come out there and go pointing fingers, well, it's the Democrats' fault, it's the Tea Party's fault, it's whoever's fault it is this week, you know. And I mean, the time for games is over, and I think this Occupy Wall Street movement, Occupy whatever city, I think that's, people are just, they're fed up enough, and they're tired of not having their voices heard, or they're, and like in Oregon here, we'll go pass a bill, the voters will, and some judge will overrule it, like the Death with Dignity Act that we had to vote on three times because they came out and said, well, I don't think people understand what they're voting for. And I don't know if they finally ruled that unconstitutional or whatever. But
see, that's the kind of a thing that this Occupy group can be talking about. They can be talking about anything. It doesn't have to be any specific thing. And that's what we're finding out, that there are people that it's not just Wall Street anymore. I mean, that's what it started out with, and I understand that that's what it started out with. I'm upset with Wall Street because it is nothing but a big gamble. And the idea that they – see, I was really upset because Wall Street was pretty stable for a long time. And, of course, what happens then is people start to depend on it. And there are cities and school districts and other organizations that put their money in the stock market rather than putting it in a bank. And as long as the stock market is reliable, that's okay. But there are no guarantees that the stock market is going to be reliable. You got insurance and banks, some amount of dollars in there, and if anything happens, the bank fails, then the government backs it up. Now, of course, now we may be getting to the point where the government can't back it up, but still the point is there is some sort of safety feature. Wall Street has nothing like that, and that's why thousands of people and thousands upon thousands of people lost their entire savings just a few years ago, and this is the third time that Wall Street has done this to us. Why aren't we waking up and realizing that this is not a safe place to be? And I don't occupy Wall Street, but it's if we just continue to put out an informational campaign on what they are and who they are and what they do, maybe we can convince people not to rely on Wall Street as much. I remember reading a thing about Orange County down in there were a couple of cities in the county that lost huge amounts of money in the stock market, and you can't do that. You just can't put where it can be taken away from you, and nobody can do anything about it.
Well, just like the push a couple of years back was to put your retirement in mutual funds. Well, the problem with mutual funds is like the 401k, for example, when Wall Street starts tanking, because Wall Street's a gamble. And things change rapidly, you can't pull your money out. You can't sit. A good investor knows when to sit on the sidelines. When you're in a 401k, for example, you don't have that option. And so you watch your investment dollars just crash.
That's what I did. It just went away. I mean, more than half of it went away. And it took 2 years to bring part of it back. And as I got any of it back to speak of, I took it out. I'm chicken, but I'm old enough now to do that. So, and before I couldn't have. But you're right. And 401k, that's the big thing. And who was it that was pushing to get people into 401ks? Our government, of course.
Exactly.
So it's a real major problem with the entire Wall Street thing, and you can't make start making up laws and tell them you can do this and you can do that, because then you should be able to as citizens, I guess is the word I'm looking for. I was going to say human beings, but as citizens, you should have the right to put your money in there if you want to, but I shouldn't be led astray or lied to about it. And about putting it in there, because it's not safe. It's just not safe. And I'm not that much of a gambler.
No, I play the market myself, and I understand the risks in doing it. That's why one of the reasons I'm sitting on the sidelines, because the market is pretty unstable at the moment. But is Wall Street the cause of all our problems? I don't think so. Like when the gas prices went up to oil was up to $150 a barrel. Yeah, the speculators ran it up because well, that's what you do. If the stock's going up, you buy it. If the stock's coming down, you sell it. Or you play options and you can make money both ways. That's just the way the market goes. But our government didn't help in the matter. It's referring to Eugene when they threw an extra 5 cents a gallon tax on us. Well, then they don't have enough money to do it. Or you find out the money doesn't go to what they wanted us to vote in favor of.
Well, we have an Occupy Eugene group that should be looking into this, and even if you go to on the internet, go to Google or whatever, and put in Occupy Eugene, and it'll take you to a page instead, and look at the Facebook page, because that's where they're actually organizing this, is on Facebook, and different cities have their own Facebook page, Occupy whatever, and you can find out what's going on and find out when the next meetings are and where they are and all that sort of thing, so you can be informed. And it's really, that's one of the things I really like. You know, I can't imagine not having the internet to look to find out what's going on in my life and in my world and to be able to go become a part of, to stay away from if it's something I don't like. It's just, I can't imagine not doing that. I've met people who don't go on the internet, and like, why? Because
it's just a fad.
Yeah, right. you know, again, I'm seeing now how whole wars like Egypt and Libya and all of these places, like, you know, whole wars can be put together on the internet, on Facebook. Facebook, especially more than Twitter. But anyway, it's just amazing how it can be done. And I when I was watching the information in the news about Egypt and their war playing out, I wasn't quite understanding how that was happening. But now I see exactly how it's happening, and it's very interesting, and it's very easy to do, and it's real important to be able to be a part of it, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, if it wasn't for the internet, I mean, this Occupy name of city probably wouldn't even have happened, because it wouldn't have made the news to begin with. Speaking of, I wonder how it'll play out. What's next? Are they, because so far, like in New York, is originally scheduled for a short period of time, and now it's going into its third or fourth week.
Actually, yeah. As a matter of fact, it was only scheduled as a demonstration. Of course, see, they wanted to literally occupy Wall Street. Well, that didn't work well, but they did actually occupy a park, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and people keep getting involved and more involved. And it's just amazing what is happening, and I think it's absolutely great. But what's more to the point, I like the idea that it's going all over the other rest of the country, even small communities. So if you can go online, Cottage Grove, which is where I am, is a small community of, 12,000 people, something like that. And you can go over to an Occupy Grove page on Facebook that you can go to. It's just being organized and put together right now. They haven't had any meetings or anything, but you can go to the one in Eugene, just a few miles away, and become a part of that and what's going on there. That's a pretty well-organized program up there. But then you can get to the cities of Portland and Seattle and almost every city, every major city, but almost every city has one that's either in their city or very close to their city to become a part of, and that's important. And it's just so easy to organize it there. It blows me away how easy it is to do, and why haven't we been, we haven't had it before, that's why.
Well, and I have to give the organized Portland people credit. They actually had two marches, and there's actually another event this weekend, too. I forget the name of it, some marathon or something. But the march was peaceful. There was no clashes at all with the police. And then when they wound up at the two parks that they're going to stay at, Mayor Sam Adams went ahead and canceled the rules that said no camping in the parks for this weekend only. So basically it was a cooperation between the protesters and the city as well. And the end result is everybody came in. They did their thing and got their message, and nobody got hurt.
And that's the thing. They got their message out there. They got their message. And because you can go to the bigger ones in Pyden, I'm not sure about Portland, but as far as I know, you go to some of the larger demonstrations, and they have all the different places out there. For example, I've heard about one, I don't know which one it was. They have labs so you can buy things, and you can buy food, and you can buy all kinds of you know, different tidbits, but they also have the soapbox, shall we say, soapboxes set up so you can preach whatever you want to preach and tell people about whatever you want to tell about. And that, because the more information that gets out, the better off we are. It's just, and of course, see, this is not something you could have done without the internet. It just simply isn't something you could have done. I mean, can you believe this? I've been following Greece because Greece is about ready to declare bankruptcy, I think. And I can actually look up a thing, and I can tell you that today the events for Greece today, the buses are on 24-hour strike, metros on 24-hour strike, trams and trolleys are all on 24-hour strike. Ferries across Greece are affected by bad weather at the moment. They don't have to go on strike. The weather and thunderstorms or high winds are keeping things down. Flights are still reported, a combination of because on strike and weather is keeping the flights down. But I can even tell you what's going to happen tomorrow, for example. The tunnel will be staggered because there'll be some closures on that. But you can tell there's a list here of what's going to happen on Wednesday and Thursday. I mean, you know what's going to take place in the different strikes, whether it's a strike or whether it's a work stoppage, if you want to call it that. I think that I would consider that a strike. But, for example, on the 11th, Corfu prison officials are going to stop working. Their whole staff is going to stop 8 to 11 and from 3 to 5 or 3 to 6, rather, in the afternoon, serving only medical emergencies. And so they're going to – different things that they're doing to let their government know that they're unhappy. But they're just – they're not doing this in a destructive way necessarily. And from what I'm hearing and seeing, they're not being destructive about any of this. It's just the on-strike thing, no services, and that's to a certain extent destructive, but emergency services are being handled and are being taken care of. But I can tell you all of this, and there's lots that I haven't told you because I don't want to take your time on everything, but I can tell you all of this because of the Internet. I can just go to the Internet and look it up, and somebody has taken the time to put all of that stuff on there as to what's going on and what's not going on. And mind you, they're probably just informing their population, but everybody can check in and see. And I think that's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. So it's important that we put what I want to say, credit where credit is due. That's the whole.
And speaking of credit, I'm going to pause for just a moment for a word from our sponsor.
Oh, Doggy Cookies.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
That's right. Check them out and check them out on the Internet or check them out in the local stores around the Eugene, Springfield area. And they're really kind of cool. And if you'd like to advertise on KRBN Internet News Talk Radio, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com.
Okay. I wanted to bring up a couple of things here other than doggy cookies. But one of them is that we had a straw poll over the weekend again called the Value Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. on Saturday. And guess who won? Ron Paul won that one. And Herman Cain came in second. Now, this is a legitimate straw poll in Washington, D.C., of all places. And I thought that was rather amazing that they won. I mean, if things are changing, folks, ready or not. It is possible to you could get totally surprised when it comes around time to actually vote. We're a long way. How many months are we? We're 11 or 12 months away
from 11 months, yeah.
Doing anything. But the same token, a lot of things can change in that time, but a lot of things are changing right now. I mean, just absolutely are. Now, the regular national polls are still putting Ron Paul down at third or fourth, but even that's way up for him. It's going to be interesting to see how this goes, because the Republican Party may not have a choice. They may be forced to acknowledge the fact that this man has ideas and is possibly a person to be contended with. It's just absolutely the other. Amazing. And I'm all for it. I'm absolutely all for it. And now are you ready for an actual surprise that you're not going to like a lot at all?
Okay, go ahead.
The latest census figures show that the Hispanic population, while it's only 5% of the state in Iowa, has almost doubled since the year 2000, and one small town west of Liberty is the first in Iowa to have a majority Hispanic population. Sending money to relatives is a popular way for families to support each other. And basically, most of the businesses in this small town are Spanish or Mexican. And we have that available around here in a couple of cities. And we have in Washington, for example, that I know because I lived there, is predominantly Mexican, which is really kind of an interesting thing because Toppenish is totally... It's contained within the Yakima Indian Reservation, but the Yakima Indians are minority as far as the population is concerned. The number one population is Mexican, Spanish. The other second population is what do you call them, whites, I guess. And there's German or something, Norwegian or something like that, is third. And the Indians are fourth in that.
So what part about this am I supposed to be upset over?
Well, you're not real happy about the Hispanic population because of the language.
No, I'm upset at it because not because of the Hispanics, it's because of the illegals.
Well, regardless of illegals, if they're mostly Hispanic, and I don't even know if these are legal or illegal, but. But you're still going to have to learn the language if you're going to get along.
Yeah, they can learn English because this is America. We primarily speak English here. And if you are an illegal resident, it's also a requirement to at least have a basic understanding of it. So it's not that I'm against any race at all. I'm just against the fact
What? I knew that. It wasn't because of the race. I thought it was the language they were upset about. The point is, one of the things that one of these people mentioned about, they moved there and took their kids there because in the fourth grade in that town, everybody's required to both Spanish and English in the fourth grade. And so they took their kids there so they could learn and be immersed in Spanish and English and become bilingual. And I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I guess. Being bilingual either, but I want to have a choice of what language I want to learn. But like I said, and I don't want to get too much into the immigration thing right now, but like I said, is that we have turned our and opened up our borders, and yet you're still groped at the airports looking for something in your underwear. and like I say, as far as our nation's securities go, you know, it's like trying to... You put an alarm system in your house and never turn it on. It's like, what's the point?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting that it's. But the point that I was getting at is Iowa is quite a long ways from the border. I mean, this is not something that's happening because people are roaming over the border real fast. So this is Iowa's pretty north, and it's happening all over the country, not just. Around here. Washington is pretty north. Toppenish is quite a ways from the border, too. And they've been mostly Mexican for a long time. I mean, I left there 10 years ago, and it was that way and had been for 5 or 6 years before that. So it's something that's happening. But anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up, see if I could get you going. Darn.
Sorry.
Oh, well.
I do understand that, speaking of illegals, that other Alabama and such are starting to crack down. In fact, there's articles that yesterday that some of the parents are signing papers to get deported that their friends take custody of their kids so they can stay in the U.S. And that's part of the thing about separating families. But like I said, I could do a whole show on the ins and outs. And
you can do whatever you want on illegal immigration, and until we come up with a national policy, it's not going to make any difference. basically it could all be basically solved if we could convince our federal government to enforce the laws that are already there. It's very
that was interesting that the government, if you've been following what's been going on in California, four federal judges had decided to crack down on the marijuana distributors, giving them 45 days to close down or go to jail.
Yeah.
So it's funny how they, they're very selective about, they're going to go ahead and hit one this issue hard, even though the state has said it's okay for them to grow, you know, like national security, they're kind of hubbub about it.
Well, you know, the thing that gets to me is that's not supposed to be a national item. That's not supposed to be a national concern. That is a state's concern. And now here we go again with the federal government usurping state's rule. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. That's what our Democratic White House is doing for us, is they want to usurp all of those rules. They want them to make all, they want to be able to make all the rules and regulations and not have to do anything at all. They want all of the money coming to them, and then they can distribute it to whatever they want and whomever they want in whatever state. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. There should be coming in from the states to run small sections of the federal government, but the federal government should not be that big. That is not, you know, we need to pay to our Constitution. By the way, that's one of the reasons why I put the Constitution. If you go to krbnradio.com, krbnradio.com, you can click on Constitution, and the Constitution is there. So you can read it and look through it and decide for yourself. But we're not following the Constitution. We're not in unless we change it by amendment, we should be paying attention to it. And that's somebody spent a lot of time and a lot of effort coming up with all that, and they did a very good job of it. So we should get back to paying attention to our Constitution.
Well, I think that's part of the reason for the Occupy Name a City movement, is to remind the government that we, the people of the United States, and also kind of goes another famous saying, too, together we stand, or united we stand, divided we fall.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's about time that, you know, people get out and say, hey, government, remember, we are the government, not you.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, that's, who was it, one of the comments that I have also on KRBNradio.com, on the audio department there, there's somebody saying that that the federal government is not supposed to be who takes up arms. We're not supposed to have 50 million people. That's supposed to be the responsibility of the people. They're the ones who are supposed to carry the guns, not the federal government. And it's not supposed to be the federal government against the people. It's supposed to be the people, period. And the federal government should be doing do. And that's, of course, you see, we have to ask them. We have to make known what we want. So that's why I'm into the campaign. There's an order that we have to follow here. First of all, we've got to come up with campaign reform. We can get different people in the office, people who can run and don't have to be multimillionaires to do that, but can actually run for office and get in there, people with good ideas and good philosophies, not people with good money. So we need to change the finance reform part of it, and I will put that up there and make it known so that I would like to have people as they go and check. We have a KRBN blog now, and if you click on that, I will try and get this in there this afternoon. And I'd like you to comment on it. Let me know how you can fix what I've got in there. I mean, I just came up with something off the top of my head. It doesn't have to stay that way, but there are ideas there that we need to come up with how to finance and how to work finance reform, because you can't have, it can't be a requirement that you be a mayor in order to run for office. And nowadays, that's what it needs to be, as a requirement of being a multimillionaire. Until we actually get down to the point of picking the person involved, then the Democratic National Committee or the Republican National Committee, either one, steps in and helps out. But we've got all these people. What have we got? We have started out with 12 or something like that, people running for office. And they had to come up with millions of dollars in order to promote themselves nationwide. And that shouldn't be required. We should be having a way of promoting people nationwide, because unless you know, when you're running for a nationwide office, you've got to be known nationwide. And the way to do that, unless you have big bucks. And that's not the way our country should be run.
Big bucks and name recognition.
Well, that's what gets you name recognition, basically, unless you're in the government already, is the big bucks. Unless you're running, well, even if you're running a major business, you know, like we didn't know who was running Godfather's while he was doing it. Now that he's told us who he was and all that sort of thing, we know about that. But he spent millions of dollars telling us.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, speaking of the Republican Party, about that they are to find a viable candidate. When Trump came out and toyed with everybody, they were just up on him because they want change. Sarah Palin, they were hoping that she'd jump into it, and she did her bus tour, and people were going, oh, good, she's going to do it, decide not to. And then Chris Christie, they're, because he's popular, because he's not afraid to stand up and say what he feels, and he says, no, I'm not going to do it. And so,
but, you know, the thing is, I hate to tell you this, but Christie was not popular with the public. He was popular with the Republican National Committee. I mean, they knew him. They knew who he was. He had really not had that much exposure to the real public. And so I don't blame him for not running. I don't think he should have run. I think he's made the right decision. Sarah Palin, I do believe that Sarah Palin could have actually, if she were put in that position, she could do it. She's got guts. She's got ideas. She's got smarts. She could actually work it out. Take her a while to get into it and be a two-term president, I guess, to really do it right. But I don't think I'm ready for Trump to do anything. He's too one-sided. He's got a lot of money, but I don't think even he knows how he got it. And so I'd be a little concerned about him myself. But that's just me.
That's going to be an interesting election. And it's going to be interesting to see how this high name of city turns out, too. It sounds like a movement that's not going to go anywhere. I think that people that are representatives who are poo-pooing this, as like Herman Cain said, that people are just jealous of the people that actually went out and worked, or that they think it's a thing for the unions, or they think that it's a ploy by Obama. I think that they really don't have a clue of the fact that people are getting together, and this is just a start.
Yeah. I don't know if it's possible, but it would be really interesting to see the Occupy people and the Tea Party people kind of get together and become a major force in government at this point. I don't know if that's even a possibility. I haven't closely looked at what the Occupy people's philosophy is, and I don't think there is one, to be honest with you. I think every city and every state that has one of these Occupy groups is looking at different things in different ways. And the Tea Party people have a different philosophy and different goal in mind. But, and maybe we could have two groups. I don't know. But we'd need to have a third party, some sort of a third party, some sort of a spoiler, because this thing is not working out with two, I don't think.
No, it's not. And things have got to change. Apparently, our current system is not working, because look at the way the country is. We're on the verge of bankruptcy. We're borrowing from other countries.
Oh, I don't want to get into that.
And
that is so scary. Do you realize that we're giving aid to China? We're borrowing money from it just to exist, and then we're giving in for. That's absurd. I mean, who is? We've got to figure out who in our government has their head up their whatever.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you're at that, and I have to relate it personally, is that when you're at the point that you're borrowing money to pay your bills, you become a little selfish with that money. You don't have the right. Like, if I borrowed money from Cliff, I don't have the right to give that money to somebody else.
But we're doing that as a country. We're doing that all the time. And that's, I agree with you. You don't have the right. And that just makes no sense whatsoever to do that. And we're doing it, not just with China, but with Russia and other countries too.
Exactly. So I don't know where it's going. All I know is that change has to happen. I think we're seeing history here where people across the nation are getting together. They're standing up. They're sending a message, even though that message may be varied. But the one big message that they are sending is the fact that people are getting together.
Well, I think these people who are getting together should demand that we stop giving away all this money. I mean, $8 billion to Afghanistan, $7 billion to Iraq, $3 billion to Israel, $1.5 billion to Egypt, $1.5 billion to Russia, $1.5 billion to the Sudan, $1 billion to Tunisia. Or that's not Tunisia, that's Tanzania and Ethiopia and all of these places that we're giving huge amounts of money to. If we stopped giving them that money, I mean, totally stopped giving them that money, there are some countries that it would be a problem for. Kenya, for example, I think could probably use that money. But I don't think in a lot of instances, for example, if we gave and we're giving a huge amount of money, $437 million to Kenya, I doubt very much if that gets to the people. It's going to their government, and that's as far as it goes. But we just need to stop giving it. I mean, we're not getting anything for it. We're not even making friends for it. We've just simply got to give it, stop giving it away. And $100 billion or $60 billion to stop doing that, that could go a long ways for doing things in the United States, $60 billion a year. This is not just a one-time thing. This is every year we're doing that. And we're spending another $30 billion a year on the Department of Defense. That's $30 billion more than they asked for. They submit how much they want to run the Department of Defense, and we're giving them an extra $30 billion a year. So there's $100 billion altogether between the two of those. $100 billion, what, think of what that could do. $100 billion, if we just sent that to the people, would none of us have to work ever again.
Or maybe we could better invest it.
Oh, I'm sure we could better invest it. But almost anywhere would be better. we've done this. $680 billion is the Department of Defense budget. We could cut that more than the $30 billion that we gave them. We could cut it by $80 billion and not even notice it was gone, I'm sure, or even $180 billion and not even notice it was gone. I mean, we're just throwing money away so far and so bad that and we don't have it to throw, folks. We're how many trillions of dollars in debt at this particular point? We've got to have somebody who can stop spending and at least make it even.
And you know, we're coming out and we're saying that we need to raise the money on millionaires and billionaires and, you know, I mean, first of all, how do you think they became millionaires and billionaires in the first place? But then what are you going to do when, how much can you tax those people? What are you going to do after that? If you don't curtail the spending and start streamlining and start changing the idea that the government exists for us to support it, it's not going to end. It's just, the problem's just going to get worse.
Okay, first of all, why don't these people spend any or have give any money to taxes? It's because there are loopholes available, and they go in there and they hire people to go find the loopholes so they don't have to give the money. If you charge them more, they're just going to do the same thing. They're going to figure out ways to get around paying it. It doesn't make any difference how much you make them pay. They're going to pay, whether they pay 0% of 30% or whether they pay 0% of 90%, it's still zero, folks. And that's what it's going to be. It's not going to help you any. You're not going to gain any money. So the problem, the possibility would be cut that tax instead of raising it, cut it, to maybe like Herman Cain's 9%. That measly little 9% would mean all of a sudden that it would cost them more money to try to get out of it than it would be to just go ahead and pay it. So they'd go ahead and pay it. So the federal government would be getting that money instead of all their lawyers. And we'd much rather have the federal government get it.
Well, speaking of, I mean, even individuals like myself, for example, I have to do the long form every year because I own a house and I got some other expenses. And, you know, you declare those expenses to try and get your tax burden down as much as possible. But could I do my taxes myself? Very doubtful.
If it was a simple 9% period across the board, sure you could. Sure you could.
But then it brings up the question, you know, like I say, I get to deduct my mortgage. Would I still be able to get to deduct my mortgage? Or my interest on my mortgage?
No. That's the idea of across the board. That's what it means. You pay 9% on your income, period. You don't get any deductions, any outs, any aways. That's why we've got half of our population is not paying any income tax. So that's not paying taxes because there are ways around it. There are people who don't pay taxes who get money back. We've got to change the system. That's why everybody, I think, is looking at Herman Cain's ideas because he's got the ideas. He puts them out there. You can go look at them. They make sense mostly. And so, you know, listen to the person who has the ideas and who's not afraid to publish them. Nobody else will even publish their ideas. There are a couple of other people who do have ideas about how taxes should be. And I do disagree with the fair tax about that. I don't think that is the way around it. But I do like the 999 thing. That's really logic. And everybody, I think, is getting the idea that there is some logic to that. And maybe we should be looking into that and looking into the man who's proposed that. And he has enough, as you say, business acumen behind him to know that can actually be a usable system.
Well, and like you pointed out, that even if it's a bad idea, he's at least putting it out there. I mean, you've heard other candidates go, well, I have a 20-point plan for this. Okay, what is it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I will have to admit that if you go to Newt Gingrich, his page, he does break down what he would do, basically. And I agree with what he would do. He's closer to Herman Cain than anybody else. But he does have it on his webpage. He has a full disclosure of the things that he believes in. And plus the fact, the one thing that I like about Newt Gingrich is you can go back and look at his record, and you can go back and look at what happened in this country, in years past, while he was in office and while he was running things, or at least directing things, let's put it that way, we did probably the best that we've ever done. And so if you want to look at a record of success, he's the only one who has it, a record of success. And I'm ready for that, my friends.
And speaking of success, you can also join the successful program by dialing 646-721-9887. It's remaining in the program. Time's flying kind of fast. Join us in the chat room, both chat rooms, CaribbeanRadio.com and BlogTalkRadio/Caribbean.
Again, 646-721-9887. Call us, please. Give us a call. Let us talk to you. And if you've got something else you want to talk about, let us know what it is. There's a lot of things going on out there in radio land, if you wish to put it that way. And there's a lot of things that we don't cover. I mean, we can't bring up everything. I sit down here, and I know that Robin does the same thing. She sits and goes through the information and picks up the things that she thinks we can talk about. But I know there are a lot of things on here going on in the world today that we aren't talking about that would be very good to talk about. So call us. Call us, 646-721-9887, and you can do that, and we'll be more than happy to talk to you. And there's got to be something that just burns you, and let us know what it is. We can either yell at you and not agree with you, or we can agree with you, and we can all commiserate together, or whatever it takes. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call.
And if you call, we'll stop begging.
No, we won't. I want more callers.
That's true.
Never gonna stop.
A couple people in the chat room. Again, welcome. Welcome to the program. Unfortunately, they're logged in as guests, so they can't contribute to the chat room, but you can at least listen, and like I say, you can always give us a call. You can also listen to our programs live by dialing that same number, 646-721-9887, and I won't know you're there until you push the number 1 on your keypad, so feel free if you want to listen to us that way. We don't care, just as long as you join us. But anyway, going back to the Occupy Wall Street movement, I think it's kind of interesting because it is, in a way, even though it's been peaceful, there's been some civil disobedience. I think it, I can't remember what city it was, but one of them said that their permit was running out midnight last night, and they said, we're not leaving. So we'll see what's going on.
That's probably true. I think that's happening in New York, too. I don't know if it's other cities or not, but the fact is, there's no reason anybody should get upset at that because they're not really being that nasty. I mean, we've had so many demonstrations that were much, much, much worse than this. And if we can keep them under control, and I've gone to their Facebook page and looked at their instructions, and there's a couple of them that I've looked at that they caution you, please don't bring drugs, please don't bring knives or weapons, and please, you know, come ready to be a human being, a calm, rational human being. You can make all kinds of noise and yell and scream and holler for your project, but don't be at odds with the rest of the world to do this. They're really asking you to be
Be peaceful, because that sends a better message. Just your presence being there. You don't have to, I mean, if you start rioting, you start breaking things, you start doing, well, basically acting like a moron, then the message that's going to be sent is that these are just a bunch of Looney Tunes.
Well, and that's not getting your point across either. That's not getting your message across. It's okay to get up on your soapbox and scream and holler and yell and preach your message and maybe even convince other people to get up in the soapbox with you and preach the message. That's fine. That's good. But to destroy things, that doesn't get your message across.
No, but I do think it's kind of interesting in a way. I mean, part of this thing is actually there's many messages that this Occupy Wall Street stuff is sending, and everybody is participating for different reasons. But I just think it's kind of interesting that it's all centered around the government, more or less, and here's the government saying, okay, your time's up, now you can leave.
Well, I don't know that I agree with that. I mean, it is, they should be able to just extend it. I mean, that's what's happening. It's not something that they plan to do. People just decided on their own to stay there. Well, I feel, again, our government should be cooperative in that. There's no reason why they shouldn't allow them to stay there. But I do know that there is a little disturbance in some instances where the park gets full and people want to start sleeping on the streets in downtown somewhere, and that does create some problems, and I don't know how you get around that, but you're getting more and more people and more people than you originally had intended to have there at these organizations. So it's hard to give everybody a chance when you're trying to get your piece of the pie and you're stepping on someone else to get it. Someone is going to be upset.
Was there anything on the books about unlawful assembly over a certain amount?
Well, I'm sure I'm sure there is, and it depends on the city. Again, in Oregon, at the University of Oregon, 150 people gathered in the rain to do their protest, and their Eugene protest. They had a whole bunch of people out there too.
Yeah, but Eugene, they got protests going on all the time.
Well, see, that's why I wasn't too worried about that. But there are other cities have too. But there's more to this one. I mean, it's a little. I don't know how I can say it's organized when it's really not, but it is really. The organization is online, it's not any one person necessarily. I went and looked at this thing, and there's several people pleading for people to be good and be peaceful and to come across as legitimate ideas and philosophies, not just being crazy people out there making all kinds of noise and beating people up. That isn't it. That isn't the idea.
Well, it's interesting when you think about it, you know, how an idea, somebody had to come up with this idea. I mean, just like the Tea Party and the Coffee Party, somebody came up with this idea and it just somehow caught on.
Well, it started out in the Occupy Wall Street thing, and that didn't work because the simple fact that Wall Street is not like one big building that you can go in and occupy. I mean, it's several big buildings, and you'd have to have a lot of people, and they're not going to allow you to get in there and do that anyway. But they realized that they could stand out and carry their signs and things like that and have a demonstration. But more to the point, it's turned to a information gathering thing. I like that idea, the idea of them standing in the park and having booths and telling people what they are, handing out literature about what they stand for, and to actually think about what they're standing for. And it's giving a lot of people to think about who they are and what they are and what their government is and what it should be doing for you and what it's not doing for you. That's the important thing that we've got to do. Anything to make people think, anything to make them communicate with each other legitimately about what's going on, rather than, you know, it's not a good communication just to punch somebody in the nose. That just doesn't send the right message necessarily. So if they could do that with a piece of paper and explain to people things, and you get more and more people, then you get more people on your side. It's just, I love this idea of, I mean, it's the same thing that started the Tea Party. I mean, that's how it started. But this is a little more thorough, let's put it that way. There's more things involved in the Tea Party. I hope it goes and gets as big or bigger than the Tea Party.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I mean, in fact, I think it already has. When you look at the involvement of the people.
Well, but I hopefully it'll stay this way. I mean, the Tea Party has stuck around for quite a while, and that's good because Tea Party has actually done a lot, and I'm looking forward for them to putting more people into the race to you know, not just the race for presidency, but we've got enough senators that need to be changed and an awful lot of representatives that need to be changed, and we need to do that. We need to change. Anybody who's been in there more than two terms needs to be changed. There's nothing. They may be the nicest people in the world. They may be great people. They're out of touch. You can't be in there for 8 years not doing anything or in your own little world of trying to extort money out of people so you can run into the next term. But they're in their own little world. They're not a part of the world. And we need to allow them out. Let's put it that way. We're not kicking them out. We're allowing them to leave and getting out and understanding what the world is again.
Well, maybe understanding that it's not going to be a lifetime job, too. We send those guys up there to do a job, and what do we get? 2,000 pages of junk, and then people going, why read the bill? Or if they even read the bill at all?
That's what I say. They're out of touch. That's the next thing to step on, step in and go after, however, is laws that you can understand the words. I mean, let's get something in actual English instead of legalese, because that's another thing we've got to do we've got to be able to understand what we're voting for. We've got to be able to understand what's happening to us. And in this case, I'm serious, to us. There are things that our government is doing that are to us, not for us. And we've got to understand those and stop them. And we can't stop them if we don't know what we're talking about. We can't stop them if we don't know what's going on. In almost every instance, all of these bills, these big long bills, are online, and you can read them. But they're, like you say, I put the Dodd-Frank thing online on our website, krbn.com, so that you can read it, you can look at it, and actually read the actual thing. I did was going to put on a summary on there, too, which was summarized what it meant, but that's still someone's opinion. I don't want to do that. I want you to read it and make up your opinion. So go to krbn.com and click on Dodd Frank.
krbnradio.com.
Click on Dodd Frank because, and it'll come up as a PDF because it's 848 pages, folks. Sorry, but it involves you. It involves your everyday life. Read it and see about it. There are a lot of people who are trying to get rid of it. They don't like it.
And that's when the system is wrong, is when you guys spend so much time. It should be harder to make a bill than it is to have to get out there and to try and get rid of it. I mean, it's just like here in Oregon, you know, they come up and they pass these bills, and they say, basically, if you don't like it, you go out and get enough signatures to get rid of it.
Yeah, they do make it hard. There's no doubt about that. And I agree with you that it shouldn't be that hard to do this, to participate in your government. Shouldn't be that difficult.
Well, I think I've said this for a long time. I think our government needs a rework, and I think maybe the Occupy is one of the first steps in it. Hopefully they'll send a message up there or get the message, which I kind of really doubt, that, you know, maybe the people are not happy, but I'm sure what they're saying is, I think the peasants are revolting.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the case, and we should revolt enough that we want them right out of the office. We've got to change the office, and we've got to do this campaign for reform thing so that we can get some people in there who are not millionaires, who don't have, because millionaires that have been millionaires for a while, they have their own idea and their own philosophies and their own way of doing things, and that I don't think is what we want. You know, we're not being ruled by the people. We're being ruled by the aristocracy, and that's what's got to change. We should not have an aristocracy in this country, but we do. There's no way around that. There are going to be people with money and people without money. But we can't have everybody in the ruling class, the people with money, because then the people without money are losing. We're not going to get any benefits. You know, they sit down, and then the other thing is, are you aware that we just passed another CR, another continuing resolution for running the government for 6 weeks, and in 6 weeks we're going to have to pass another one, and they're back to doing it without much ballyhoo, so we don't know what's going on, but it's still, every 6 weeks or so, we're in jeopardy of shutting down the entire government, and we let somebody sort of pass it along. We don't actually pass a budget. We just, every 6 weeks, do their thing and hope it goes well. But that's the kind of thing that big business, and I know a lot of people don't like the word or the phrase big business, but the simple fact, big business does help us keep our people employed, and big business, or any business for that matter, can't rely on what's going on. And if you can't rely on what's going on, you're not going to expand, you're not going to hire people, you're not going to do anything. You're just going to kind of sit back on your conscious and do nothing, waiting for something to become a little more stable so you know what's happening next week and next year and that sort of thing. We don't have any idea what's going to happen financially in a year from now.
Well, and you bring up a good point as well. I mean, these people can't even balance their own books, and they're running the country.
See, and that's the thing. You know, and that's here's what I get at. You mentioned it. They don't balance their own books. They can't even take care of their own finances at home. They hire somebody to do it, and yet we hire them to take care of our finances. That's wrong. You know, again, we take somebody, and I watch C-SPAN. You see somebody in there answering questions to a lot of senators and representatives. These people don't know what they're asking. They don't know what they're talking about. They can't know everything, and they're expected to know everything. So there's a major problem there. We need to have more people with experience in the situation that can answer the questions.
That's the thing. You got people with I was going to say experience, but you got a lot of people that are college educated, But college, unfortunately, doesn't mean real life experience.
College education doesn't even mean intelligent. Sorry.
Book smart.
Well.
But anyways, we got 14 minutes left in the program. 646-721-9887, and we do have some people in the chat room. And 646-721-9887.
646-721-9887.
That's what I said.
Yes. Yes. And I wish if you're in the chat room, you know, sign in so they can talk to us, because or use the other chat room. There's nobody has stepped into the KRBN chat room at all. It's KRBN.com, KRBNradio.com. I've got to keep remembering the radio part.
Get it right. Yeah, we do have Green Beasley is chatting in the chat room there. We've got a little conversation going on. And he's talking about that rich people are the symbol of green in this country, and it shouldn't be that way.
The symbol of green or greed?
Well, greed, actually, corrected. And in a way, that's true. But then again, if it wasn't for rich people, they're the ones that invest in the businesses and corporations and provides jobs. And
yeah, you know, I think you have to kind of sit back and define what is greed. Every small business owner in the world would like to be greedy enough to have his business get bigger and hire more people, and he would have to work less, and he could let his employees work more. But again, where does it become greed? Does it become greed at $250,000, or does it become greed at $500,000, or does it become greed when your company is worth $1 million? I mean, where does it go?
Well, exactly. Or just like, Zsa Zsa Gabor never ate at McDonald's in her life? Something like that?
Well, I guess I'd have to feel sorry for her then, because I like McNuggets.
Well, the thing is I've had a little bit of money. I've never been really wealthy, but I've had a little bit of money, and I also know what it's like to not be able to afford to buy my next meal. I've never been homeless. I've been close to it. So,
yeah,
I mean, it changes you, and I think some of these people, they're just these people that are in charge, like you say, they're millionaires, and it's hard for somebody with a lot of money in the bank account who can go and buy tires on their car without thinking about a 3-month budget to do it, to tell somebody, you know, to relate to somebody like us.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying we've got to change the campaign financing. We've got to change the system so that we can have people who are not millionaires being able to run for office, for federal office, for national office. As it is, you have to be a millionaire to run for that office, and that's ridiculous. You shouldn't have to be that. I've lived in a city where people on unemployment, or not unemployment, but on welfare, I guess it is, or actually ran for office and won. And you should be there should be a way of doing that for all of our people. I mean, not necessarily on welfare in this case, but people that are running for office that don't have millions of dollars in the bank. You're still going to need a lot of money to run, so you've got to be able to be prepared to beg for it, I guess, is the idea. But we need to put a limitation on how much people can spend on their running for office, and that's going to have to be.
But then you're going to get into things like, how would they do it? Would you get back to like the fairness doctrine on the radio? How would these people get out and get noticed?
Well, I'm going to put that up there. What my idea is, what is it here? What I put up here is 10 months before the auction, before the election, rather, public forums shall be broadcast twice monthly on television. Each forum shall be assigned to a different television network, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, CNN. There's five networks in 10 months. So they have plenty of time. They're not going to be hurting for it. Each network shall be given two commercial breaks of 3 minutes duration per hour, no more. There shall be no charge to the candidate for this exposure, but the candidates, if you're going to run, you're required to attend this. Candidates are allowed to solicit and spend no more than $3 million on promotion outside of these forums. So this, the television forums can be, they don't have to be in prime time, but they need to be just before prime time, just like they're running them now. And again, it's not going to cost the networks that much. Granted, it's going to cost them a lot of money, but they're allowed to get 6 minutes of advertising in there during that time, per hour. Actually, it's 12 minutes if they run it 2 hours. So they're being required to donate some time, yes, but they can make their money back off of that time if they want to. And it's a requirement. Candidates are required to attend because it doesn't help and make any difference if this, if they don't want to attend and don't run because you're not going to get anywhere. But this allows them to have that time absolutely free of charge. It only takes each network is only going to have to do this one day in a month, every third month or every second month or something like that. It isn't putting too hard. Now they can more if they want to. But that's I'm going to put this up on our KRBNradio.com, and then I would like people to revise it or whatever, and we can come up with something. But that's my thing I came up with is that's, and this doesn't even consider radio. We can work on radio later if we want to do that. But I think it's important that people be able to see the candidate, watch him. Because you learn as much by seeing him talk as you do in what he says in a lot of instances. And especially since nowadays it's so easy to put up a website and be able to read the text of what's going on. But even in reading the text, you're not seeing that person, and you're not seeing his inflections and his attitude while he's talking.
Well, you have this thing called YouTube, which that way the TV networks don't have to invest a lot of money to, you know, it's cost a lot for
it. Well, it does cost a lot. I understand what you're saying, but I don't think that YouTube could do it. I think TV is far more invasive than YouTube. There's a lot more people watching television than there are watching YouTube. In the United States, anyway.
Why, in the United States, maybe. I don't have a TV, so...
Well, see, we're not trying to do this outside of the United States. This is only for people running for office in the United States. So I don't care, you know, if people in Tanzania can see them or not. And they can do that because, you know, again, they've got, as I said, $3 million on promotions outside of the forums that they can spend during that time. So if they want to take some of that $3 million and do presentations on YouTube, because it still costs money to put together a video presentation, whether it's going on YouTube or whether it's going on television. You still have to have the cameras and the staff and everything else.
Well, that's true. Very true.
Hopefully they're being paid. Never too sure. But anyway,
go ahead.
I was just going to say that's what I want to do. I'm going to try to get that in there on there today and see if we can. Oh boy, it's getting 2 o'clock. But anyway, I'll try to do that and see if we can get anywhere with it. And then I would like to have people email their ideas in, or in the case of being on the blog, I guess you have right on the blog. You can do that. So either way, you can email me information, or you can do it on the blog and give you every opportunity to do this. KRBNradio.com. That's the thing to remember, and be prepared to go there at least by tomorrow, and this will be on.
And speaking of blog, we have you can either access a link on KRBNradio.com, or you can go to KRBNradio.blogspot.com to blog directly, and we just opened it up to the public about a day or two ago, and it's still a work in progress, so we're still working on developing the site, so be patient with us. Anyway, 5 minutes remaining in the program. 646-721-9887. Still enough time to get your comments in if you'd like to.
I see that you did put an opening statement on the blog. That's great. At least somebody's doing something.
That's right.
If it's not me, Anyway, so it's my God, we've gone through another hour and a half. Wow.
Yep, so we're just about to end the program, I'd say, 646-721-987. Next week, folks, we'll be back at this, our new time here. Let us know how it works for you. We've had a couple of people come in and visit us, which I think is great. But send us in if you like the show, if you don't like the show, if you just want to say hi, send us a message, talk@caribbeanradio.com, or leave us a comment on any of our show pages. We're always glad to get feedback. And the whole reason why we're doing this is for you. So.
And by the way, the time that we picked it, Monday at 1 o'clock, was not just something we pulled out of the air. We did go to our statistics pages and look at who visits the website at any given time, how often people go there, and also what time of day that they do that. And that's basically what this has come up with, is that this is one of, we thought about weekends, I know that, but actually less people check into our website on weekends than any other time. So Monday at 1 seems to be the answer. So we're going to go for that for a while and see how it works. I hope it works out for everybody.
And also let me point out, too, that your participation also determines the future of this program. Just by checking in and listening to us on the archives, it shows our stats, and if people aren't listening, we're not doing it. So, you know, keep checking us out. Even if you're listening to us on the archives, you can still participate. But like I say, either commenting on the comments, joining us on the blog, send us an email, and let us know you're out there, and we'll keep doing this because it does cost us money.
We do thank you for tuning in, at least especially on the archives. We have a lot of people. We're up around, 20,000 people or something like that, checking in on the archives on a regular basis. So we really appreciate your being here. And we're really running out of time.
We really are running out of time. In fact, I think it's a good time to go ahead and wrap it up. And again, it's been fun. Let us know how you like it. Like, say, send us an email or join us on Facebook. And we really do appreciate your comments. We do read it, all the emails that come in, and we do respond to them, except for the one about Viagra. Other than that, we do appreciate the emails, and yes, a special message to that queen over there, overseas, that wants to leave me $20 million. yeah, send me the check and we'll talk.
Really? No kidding.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.